How the U.S. economy ran hot but still shrank at the same time. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There's news today that for the first time since early in the pandemic, the U.S. economy shrank in the first 3 months of this year. Gross domestic product fell at an annualized rate of 1.4%, so no growth. It went the other way. Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the tax and consulting firm Grant Thornton, saw this coming. Hi, Diane.
Good morning.
Yeah, it shrunk, though, and yet we're still going to raise interest rates next week?
You know, the three pillars of domestic private sector spending, consumer spending, the housing market, all cash buyers crowding out first-time buyers, and business investment, all of that accelerated in the first quarter, despite the rise in inflation to a four-decade high from the fourth quarter. So what we saw was this acceleration in domestic spending that was offset by an implosion in the trade deficit and yet another big drop in government spending. But that resilience, the very resilience we saw, actually enabled inflation to hit that four-decade high. And it's why the Fed is so focused on raising rates and getting inflation down.
Diane, just briefly, we know that the job market is hot and was hot in the first quarter, but this GDP report today really underscores that. There are a lot of jobs added to the economy.
There was 1.7 million jobs in the first quarter, the same pace we saw in 2021. And what we once thought was a great year, let alone a good quarter. The churn we're seeing, the record high quit rates, when a firm has to replace someone that they've lost, that's very costly. And that's adding to what we call cost push inflation. And I think that's an important issue that the Fed sees out there right now as well.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I see interest rates are up with the 10-year benchmark up at 2.84%. Swonk and many others believe the quarter we live in now, quarter number two, things will be back to growth, but a real concern is maybe recession next year. It's a week where many big technology companies reveal results and share their views of the road ahead. Meta, the Facebook parent, reported its numbers after the stock market closed yesterday. Growth in sales was the lowest in a decade. Yet, if you thought no one uses Facebook anymore, daily users went up. Marketplace's Andy Euler now has more on what these tech giants can tell us about the effect of higher interest rates, inflation, and supply chain issues on the economy.
Traders are looking for some good news. Dan Ives is a managing director at Wedbush Securities.
The street right now, it's a white-knuckle period. We need to see strong numbers from both Apple as well as Amazon to give a shot in the arm of confidence, especially in this Fed hiking cycle.
The Fed raised interest rates in March by a quarter of a percentage point, and Chairman Jerome Powell said half a point hike is on the table in May. But that's not all businesses are dealing with. The supply chain is still an issue, and of course, there's inflation. Scott Kessler at Third Bridge says Apple and Amazon both at their core depend on people buying stuff, so what they tell investors could be a good indicator for the larger consumer economy.
They should give us a pretty good sense as to how the consumer is feeling, how the consumer is spending.
And he says both these companies benefited quite a bit from the pandemic, so he wouldn't be surprised if there's a hangover that tags along as things return to normal. In Austin, I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd never realized that flight attendants aren't generally paid for the time you spend boarding the flight and fussing with your bags, but flight attendants are well aware, and Delta Airlines will start doing half pay during boarding, as some flight attendants are trying to organize a union. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has that.
It's a big deal that Delta's going to start paying flight attendants during boarding.
Traditionally, neither pilots nor flight attendants are paid until the doors of the plane are closed and the brakes are released.
Henry Hardeveld is a travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group.
And that pay only lasts until the plane arrives at the gate.
So why offer boarding pay now? Delta did not reply to a request for comment by deadline. But David Slotnick at the travel site The Points Guy says the unionization push among its flight attendants is one factor.
There's an element here of Delta trying to fend that off. It's a carrot versus a stick kind of system.
On top of that, Sarah Nelson, president of the Association of Flight Attendants, CWA Union, says the job has gotten harder in the pandemic.
Boarding has become especially a hot issue over the last 2 years as we've had more and more conflict.
Now that Delta plans to offer boarding pay, Nelson says the union will be pushing other airlines to do the same. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
And fun with numbers, Delta is also going to add 5 minutes to boarding times, 40 instead of 35 minutes, to in part help it get more departures labeled as on time. Job interviews for actors, dancers, singers take the form of auditions, right? But job interviews that you do quite frequently. Now, since pandemic, auditions have gone remote, where you film your auditions and send it in, a system that could persist even with the pandemic now in this lower level phase. Emily Schutz reports from New York.
Twist or search.
Dancer Cameron Ha is rehearsing an audition in a New York dance studio. The room is large and bright. A camera is set up on a tripod about 10 feet away. If this were pre-pandemic, she would attend most dance calls in person. But since theaters opened back up, it's become industry standard to require self-tapes for initial auditions. For Ha, this means she films some auditions in a rented performance space. It costs $30 to $60 an hour.
I was in the studio, if not once a week, twice a week, which definitely got expensive.
Ha says she prefers filming in a studio over a crammed bedroom, and some theater professionals seem to agree. Peter Fernandez is an assistant professor of theater at Columbia University.
The more professional you come off, the better you look. It's probably not good to audition for Juliet in a washroom with a bunch of dirty clothes next to you and no decent sound.
But Ha isn't sure how long she can afford to keep this up.
It's definitely not sustainable. I mean, just having to rent studio space makes it inherently disadvantaging.
Regardless of the difficulties, Peter Fernandez says self-taped auditions might be here to stay.
It is cheaper and much quicker for those who are actually seeking talent. Self-tape is the future.
The switch to self-taped auditions means Broadway casting director Daryl Eisenberg can view more videos and consider actors and singers who may not be able to attend a midday call. But she says for dancers,
if I can get dance auditions back physically into a room, I'm going to try to do that. I think it's much kinder to the performer.
And Eisenberg says she's explained to people who are auditioning with a video from home that they shouldn't worry if there's some outside noise in the background or a roommate walking by. What matters for the audition is the performance. In New York, I'm Emily Schutz for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do
the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.